You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Ribbon. This is a very special episode because it is the VIP party here at 24 Hours in the Canyon. You know, it's an amazing event.
Yes.
And this podcast is brought to you by the Pink Shoe Project. And I have a special co-host, Mary Bell.
Hi, Pam. Thank you for having me again this year. It's always a fun time. I love, this is a great time of the year. We look forward to 24 Hours in the Canyon and all of the support, the sponsorships, the community, the 24-hour family that we build throughout the year. So it's special.
You know, it is an amazing time here at Palladora Canyon. There is a beautiful view, and we truly get to meet some awesome people.
Yes, we do.
And we have a very, very special guest.
Yes.
You know, what is Pink Shoe? We don't even know.
Yeah,
I think we should introduce our guest.
I think so, too.
And learn a little bit about the Pink Shoe. Can you tell everybody your name?
Yes. I'm Miranda Preston.
And Miranda, where are you from? Where do you live?
I live in Anna, Texas.
Okay, Miranda, is this your first time here in the Palladora Canyon?
No, I came 2 years ago. And yeah, I felt like I was confident in going on a podcast because I feel like I was old enough, and I felt like since my brother did it, I felt like I could do it.
Absolutely.
You can do it. So tell us, do you know what the Pink Shoe Project is about?
Yes. So the Pink Shoe Project is about no one fights alone. Even if they already have a family watching over them, mm-hmm. that we can surround them even though they don't
have to be alone in their journey.
Right. Yes. Like if their people can't be around them uh-huh. as much, we can still give them shoes, and that can remind them that somebody's always still there for you.
That's
so
right.
What kind of shoes do you give them?
So we give them pink shoes as a representation of what my mom used to do when she went to her blood test to see if she needed more help on it. So we thought, since she always wore those, that we could give people pink shoes, because she thought that since she wore pink, that...
Was that her favorite color?
No, she loved purple, but she thought that... since she was wearing pink, she thought that the cancer would still be in her, but not, it would always be there. She'd still remember the times that she'd have fun, but then not as much fun.
Right. So do you have a pair of pink shoes that you can think about your mom?
No, I don't. But I'll get some soon, but I'll always remember her, yeah. even though... Everybody else, and mostly my family, has pink shoes already. Mm-hmm. I just feel like wearing pink, it just tells me that she's always still there, because cancer tells me that you shouldn't have to, you shouldn't have to fight alone. And
right.
though cancer also says that you don't want cancer says that you shouldn't live.
It's a scary time, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Miranda, tell us, you mentioned your mom. Tell us a little bit about your mom.
She started doing a business mm-hmm. almost like, but she sold a lot of makeup products and did a lot of videos on them. And sometimes I'd pop in those videos because I thought it'd be fun.
I love
were
that.
Were those special memories for you?
Yes, those were a lot of memories that I made with her I sometimes steal her makeup and put it on in the mirror.
Did you sneak it?
Sometimes.
Whoops. But I bet she didn't mind.
Yeah, she'd always be like, oh, maybe you should become a makeup artist soon. And
well, there
I was
you
like,
go.
Yeah, I thought it was like, maybe I should. That should be my job when I grow up.
Maybe so. So do you have a vivid memory that you can remember with your mom?
There's so many memories. There's so many memories. I can't really choose.
Yeah, they're all special, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately your mom passed away, but you keep the memory alive, right?
Yes.
You think about her every day.
Yeah.
And probably every time you see Pink.
Yeah, I always think about how she had cancer and that someday I maybe have cancer or my brother maybe have cancer. And I hope that doesn't happen because there's life chances that you may be risking. And I don't want to risk those. And I hope my brother doesn't want to risk those. So I hope that I don't get it. But if I do, that still means I'll have the journey that she had.
Yeah.
No one fights alone, right?
They don't.
Yeah, nobody
so
does.
If you had to give a little bit of advice to somebody your age,
yeah,
and their mom was diagnosed with cancer, what advice would you give them?
I'd say that you should always be by their side, even though some people don't want to, like, I wasn't always being able to be around her since
it was probably hard to understand at the young age you were, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What age were you when she was diagnosed? Do you remember?
I think I was five.
That had to be hard. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have some great grandparents, huh?
Yes.
Yes, and they brought you to the canyon. What are you looking forward to this weekend? What are you, like, hoping some s'mores or, you know, riding your bike or just laughing and remembering your mom?
I think it should be where, like, I can make new friends, which I already have a friend that I get to spend time with, and that's an angel that's always right next to you, and that's always my mom.
You're going to make me cry. You promised me. You promised me you wouldn't. Now you can go back and tell your brother.
That is a perfect answer. I am so glad that you do hold her near and dear and that she's always with you, because she is. She's with you all the time, and especially out here, you know, and y'all are making a big difference in everybody's lives, you know, with the Pink Shoe Project. So keep representing her.
Yeah.
Do you know, is there a website that people can go look at?
Yes. If they want to find shoes and they want to wear them to their whatever test they need to get, they can go to pinkshoeproject.com and they can send a notification to our website, and we can look up to it, and we can package some shoes, some stickers, and a note that says, nobody fights alone, and there's always a path that brings you to the right side.
Miranda, I love that. I love what you're doing.
So
you're
smart.
Such a smart kid, and going to make a lot of people happy through their journey. So continue doing what you're doing. Remember those memories of your mom, and go have fun this weekend.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Wow, Maribel, that was such a testimony from our little friend.
Yes.
But we are here with our next survivor, Elliot. Introduce yourself and tell us where you live.
Okay, my name's Elliot McKinney, and I live in Amarillo, Texas, born and raised.
Okay, Elliot.
So, thank you.
So what type of cancer were you diagnosed with?
Melanoma.
Melanoma.
Melanoma, yep.
Okay, and when were you diagnosed?
It was August of 2017. Okay. Around the 17th, it was just a few days before my wife and I's wedding anniversary.
So going back to that day, can you describe it when you got that news?
Yeah, it's actually, and we can talk about it at some point, I'm sure it'll come up, but that day, I was I'm kind of running around busy all the time anyway, or I think I'm busy. And I had had a biopsy done, and I was headed. I was walking into a meeting, and I saw the doctor call, so I thought, well, you know, I should take this for a win. And they got on the phone, and they said, hey, we'd like to have you come back. We did find, you know, see some concern, and we'd like you to come back tomorrow. And that was an indication, too. The timing was like, you know, okay. And I said, well, what is it you saw exactly? And I said, well, not a lot of detail, but just it was melanoma, and we'd like you to come back for some more testing tomorrow. And so went on about my day, like literally walked into that meeting, forgot about it, went home. We were laying in bed, and Jana, my wife, asked, said, oh, so did you hear anything? And said, oh, yeah, they said they would like me to come back tomorrow. And said, yeah, really, what for? What? And I said, oh, they said something about melanoma. And I'm just kind of like falling off to sleep. Mm-hmm. Well, the next morning, Jana had been on her phone.
Oh, you know, no. Dr. Giggle?
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I think, you know, all of us should be really careful of.
Right.
So it was, yeah, it wasn't really a moment then, but it was a moment in the morning. She's like, how could you sleep? And yeah. I was up all night, and I was like, I really didn't know anything about it. But that was the day.
You know, everybody processes that day different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially husband, wife, caregiver, loved ones. There's a lot of emotions that go through that day. Yeah. And it's a day that you probably will never forget where you were, the smells around you, everything.
Yeah. So prior to that, did you have a cancer connection, or did you know anything, you know, anybody with cancer? So literally you went in not knowing.
Right. You know, with melanoma or skin cancers, you can kind of see and tell what's going on. And there's a spot on my back that, you know, didn't look and feel normal. But in our family, no. And, you know, I've known some people with cancer, but no, you know, from a family standpoint, no. It really doesn't, it's not prevalent in our families, either side of our family.
Okay.
So you got that diagnosis. What was the next step? You went back to the doctor.
Went back, and it was, you know, large enough without, you know, I don't know what people know about different cancers, because there's certainly plenty of them. Essentially, what it was big enough and deep enough, they wanted to, you know, go see if it had made its way anywhere else. And so they you know, they do the test for the sentinel lymph node. So that was the next thing that we did, is to see, you know, kind of what stage. They were determining the staging of the cancer. So that was next.
So that had to be very difficult. How did you process those feelings, and what got you through that difficult time?
Well, fortunately, we had a really, for me, it's almost, like it was a very short, intense period. Like people, it's hard for me to say that I had cancer, that I'm a survivor, because it was very intense, because it did turn out to be stage 3. And with, you know, melanoma, it's really your best option, at least at that time, was all surgery. It's either surgery or it's a bunch of medicine that's, you know, really not great options. But to answer your question specifically, because it was so intense, I had a really close faith family, a really close church family, really close family. And those relationships and staying close to people seemed to help me. Instead of pulling back out, leaning in was really helpful. I found that it just, you kind of need the distraction a bit, so you're not grinding on it.
Makes a big difference just to have that support there with you. Yeah. You're not going through it alone.
I had a good friend at the time. He had been on a journey, his journey, for maybe 3 or 4 years at the time. And he just said, hey, come down to my office. He was in the car business. Come down to my office and just hang out with me for the afternoon.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, because it's always busy.
Right.
Things are happening, and it just gave me a chance to not think about it.
Take your mind off all that.
Right.
Sometimes normalcy is the best thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So how has surviving cancer changed how you live today?
Yeah. So certainly I try to stay, you know, aware, before. I felt like I was, you know, pretty on top of my health and staying healthy, but certainly afterwards, I think more of an outward look, having a better understanding and empathy for what others are going through. Because again, I don't, it's almost, you know, almost like not fair, because it was one kind of in and out and done. And, you know, it's been 7 or 8 years now, and I do my checkups and everything's good. So I try to keep it more outward focused. I'll say this, one thing that I learned that, you know, when you run into something before my diagnosis, when I'd run into somebody in a tough situation, I didn't know if offering, hey, I'm thinking of you, or I'm praying for you, I just never knew how that really felt or worked. And but being the receiver of that, it taught me that, yeah, if you came up to me and said, hey, I'm thinking of you, or I'm praying for you, it meant a great deal to me. So I try to keep that in mind. It's still hard for me to do that sometimes, but just being more outwardly aware of what people are going through.
So that, you bring up a good point. So you tell us, you know, what helped you and what you like to hear. So as a cancer survivor, what could you tell those listening? What, you know, you probably shouldn't say that to a survivor.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
You know, I think a lot of times it comes from, you know, the best place, but it comes across wrong.
We hate to find ourselves in those awkward, you know, because I'm sure I've said plenty of things.
Sure,
just like,
oh,
that's so boneheaded. And fortunately, people give us a lot more grace when they're going through a struggle and you don't really know what to say, and it's, you fumble through it and it's not the right thing. I think people really give you a lot of grace. And I think our minds hold on to things, like if I think about something I shouldn't have said, I think about it a lot more than you forgot it 30 minutes ago after I said it.
So for the survivor out there listening that may have just got that diagnosis, what is the one word or phrase that you would give that survivor to give them hope?
I would say connect. I don't know if it's more natural, because I'm kind of a more introvert minded, but drawing, going out and connecting and being with people really helped me.
So you're out here this weekend. What are you riding?
I'm going to do the 6-hour mountain bike race.
Does that give you time to reflect on your journey?
So I was a participant and sponsor involved in 24 Hours in the Canyon before my diagnosis. So as you can imagine, after, you know, one of the first people I reached out to was Ryan and their organization. And it was just great to have those people and answers and resources. So it always does. Anytime I want a bike, because again, mine was a skin cancer, so I'm always covered up. I'm thinking, do I need to stop and reapply? All those things. So yeah, being outside, really, I'm thinking about it a lot.
You know, the beauty about our foundation, we do have the sunscreen program that we have sunscreen out here in Palo Duro Canyon.
We do.
And make sure you reapply. That's very important.
Absolutely.
You are a sponsor. We want to thank you. Thank you for all you do for our survivors. And Maribel and I work at the Survivorship Center, so we wouldn't be able to do what we do on a daily basis without your support.
Fantastic.
It's an honor, a blessing, just to be able to help those that are going through this tough journey. We thank you.
Absolutely.
Go have fun and enjoy your weekend.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye.
Welcome to our podcast, Beyond the Ribbon. This next guest is very special to me, and you can already hear my voice cracking. I'm going to get through this. I'll let you introduce yourself and let us know where you're from.
Okay. I'm Jody Harbison, and I am from Bushland, Texas. Born and raised in Amarillo, but we live in Bushland, Texas.
So, Jody, how many years have you been coming out to the canyon?
Gosh, we were just talking about this. I think it's been 12. Yep. Does that sound right, Maribel?
It is 12 years.
12 out of the 19.
Yes.
That's amazing. things changed for you.
Yes.
Yes. And you were diagnosed with cancer. Can you tell our listeners what kind of cancer and when you were diagnosed?
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
I was diagnosed with invasive carcinoma, ductal carcinoma, on September 7th of 2023.
Mm-hmm. So things changed. This event means something different.
Way different, yes. Yeah. It hit way different.
Yeah.
So do you remember the day that you were diagnosed? And what? Tell our listeners what you went through that day.
Oh, yes, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was at work, and I've been waiting for the call. You know, they said it'd take 2 days, and so all day long I was checking my phone. So finally I saw the number come up, and so I ran across the hall to one of my co-teachers, and I said, hey, can you watch my class? I need to answer this. And they'd been waiting too, so they're like, yes, go, go, go. So I took a sticky notepad and a pen with me to write down, you know, notes, whatever. And Barbara on the other end, she said, why don't we just talk about this later? She's like, your results came back, but you're at work. And I knew if she wants to talk about it later that it can't be good. So I said, no, I want to know. I said, can you just tell me right now? And she said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. So she said, well, the results came back and you have invasive ductal carcinoma. And I just kind of froze for a minute. I didn't know what to do. It was just so shocking. I just thought, me? Like, how? And so, of course, I had all these questions planned out, but couldn't get them out. So I just instantly just broke down crying. And I went to a little conference room that we have, and one of the teachers walked by, and everybody at the school had been praying, and they just knew. And so my co-teachers all came in there, and I mean, I couldn't even stand up. I was just in hysterics, and Grant had to come and get me from work. And we went straight to my mom's house just to, you know, get support and prayer, and just everybody just was so sweet that day. My co-teachers, ugh.
So, Jody, this was not a routine mammogram, correct?
No.
You had felt something, I'm guessing?
No, I'm sorry. It was a routine mammogram. Okay. Yes, my mom had had breast cancer when she was 42. Mm-hmm. So they wanted me to go in 10 years prior to the age that she was diagnosed. So went in. And I had had a couple scares in the past. Had a biopsy done several years prior. But I just, you know, you never think it's going to be you. Right. So just thought it was another, you know.
And you have small kids.
I do. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm sure, you know, I would think that mom brain would turn on.
Ugh.
What about my kids?
Yes. 100%.
How do I tell my kids?
Yes. And that was really important. I wanted to be the one to tell them, you know, with social media. And I mean, word gets around so fast.
Yes.
So I wanted to be the one. So we actually took them out of school that day because I just knew, with everybody at work knowing, it was like, it's going to get out before I can tell them. And so that was hard, the hardest day,
hardest thing
to share.
Knowing the Harbisons, we have been lifelong friends for many years. And, you know, when I found out that Jody was diagnosed, it was hard. It still is, just because, you know, we have walked this journey of supporting.
Right.
You know, her mom went through it. We had Jeremy's parents that went through it. And so we were here always being the supporters.
Right.
Advocating for the Survivorship Center. And so it did. It hit home. But, you know, when I heard the news that Jody had been diagnosed, I knew she's going to be okay. And I knew because of her faith that was going to carry her through.
Right.
And, you know, she's taught me a lot through her diagnosis.
You know, oftentimes I tell people that survivors teach us more about life
Absolutely.
Than we can teach them.
Yeah.
So, Jody, what helped you get through that most difficult time in your life?
Well, like Mary Bell was saying, just honestly meditating on the word. sorry. There were certain scriptures that I would meditate on daily. Some days, all I could do was just speak the name of Jesus. That's all I could say. Because there was a lot of sad days. So many sad days. But I just knew, like Marybelle said, I knew that the Lord was taking me through this journey for a reason. And I didn't want to miss a thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that I took every opportunity that he gave me to, like, if I'm here to pray over this nurse, or if I'm here to meet this doctor for a reason, I want to take that opportunity and share Jesus with them.
Right.
So that's what got me through, was just Jesus.
How selfless of you to think of others in your most difficult time.
This is Jody. Wow. That's the word that would describe Jody.
Was there a moment when you found hope?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There was a day that I was feeling sorry for myself. Just kind of sat at home, like, you know, can't believe it's me. Why me? And everything was, we had some friends over. They prayed over us. It was the night before my surgery, my big major surgery. And I went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I had a vision, and I just saw the Lord, because I'd never had surgery ever, and so I was so scared of that part. So I had a vision that the Lord gave me of him holding my hand during surgery, and I just knew from then on, like, I'm gonna be okay. He's right here with me, and I don't need to worry.
You know, sometimes we wonder how people can do it without faith.
Oh my goodness.
Because there are people out there, and you know, we all have to process it in our own ways. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Faith can take us a long way.
Absolutely. You know, we say all the time, you know, I don't know how somebody without faith gets through this hard time.
Yes.
It is. It's a dark time.
It is.
You have to have that faith to be able to push through.
And it's real. Like the peace of God. You read that scripture over and over. The peace that surpasses all understanding. You read it. But when you live it, it's so real.
It's so different. Yeah. It's differently.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
So how has surviving cancer changed your outlook on life?
Well, it's changed my perspective a lot. Like even just going out into public, like going to the grocery store, you just don't know what people are facing. Every person is facing some sort of battle, whether it's an illness or a family issue or something at work, and people don't know. They're hiding it. They have maybe a smile on their face, or maybe they don't, but my perspective now is that I can love on people. I can pray over people. I can see people differently because I went through it, and some people didn't know because I was able to save my hair through a therapy. And so people didn't know I was fighting a battle.
Right.
So it's really cool to be able to have that perspective of just going into a room and just, you can see the people who are hurting, and take the opportunity to love on them. Or even from afar. They don't even have to know you're loving on them.
Right. So what does this event mean to you now since the diagnosis? Mm.
It's already so special, this event. Mm. The last 12 years, we've just, like Marybelle said, I've been on the sidelines cheering on the survivors, my mom, and we've had several members of our team who have battled cancer. But me now being a survivor, it's just so special. Like I just feel, I don't even know how to describe the feeling that I have. Like the community and like the support. It just feels like everybody loves me.
Yeah,
like I don't know,
sure.
Like
absolutely.
And I haven't done anything.
I'll share a little bit of last year was our first year after her, you know, our first event after her diagnosis, and we said, I think Jeremy's the one that thought about it, and we called ourselves Jody's Midnight Riders. And so we decided, and Night Ride is a lot of fun.
Yes.
And we prayed right before we took off. We gathered as a group, and we let Jody lead the way, and we went on a night ride. And
so
it was
cool.
So just meaningful and just calm, and We started out with her favorite praise and worship song,
"Strong" by Ann Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. And, gotta have some good music.
That's right.
We all reflected, and it was very special. So I look forward to doing that again this
year. Yes, me too. Yeah. That was so special.
Yeah.
For the listener that just got that diagnosis, what would you tell them?
I would say, have every feeling. Every feeling is valid. The sad days, the mad days, but don't stay there. Cling to your faith. Cling to the hope that the Lord gives, and have a community of people around you. And when they ask, "What can I do? How can I help?" let them help.
You know, I think oftentimes as women, we have a hard time letting. Because we need to be doing that.
Yes.
And we need to be the mom. We need to be the strong one. And sometimes it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I would say, yeah, it's okay to let people come in your house and help.
You know, and oftentimes we hear that about the emotions. And it's okay to have both emotions at the same time.
Absolutely.
Jody, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yes.
What a blessing it is to hear it. And thank you for everything that you do for 24 Hours and the center.
Thank you so much, Jody.
Thank you. Love you too.
We have another one of our survivors. Introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Kerry Snow, and originally I'm from the UK. But I've lived in College Station, Texas, since 2010.
Gig'em, right?
I'm not a gig'em, but yes, I live in a gig'em area.
Oh. Well, you know, that place holds a special place in my heart. So you're in a great place.
It is a great place.
Yes. So tell us, what kind of cancer were you diagnosed with, and when was that?
Yes, I was diagnosed in April of 2024 with stage 2 triple negative breast cancer.
Okay. So did you have any family history of breast cancer?
I do not, no. In my naivety, I thought breast cancer was something that ran in families.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't realize that you could also get it if people in your family hadn't had it before. So it was kind of a little bit of a surprise that I would be diagnosed with breast cancer.
So was it a routine checkup?
Yeah, so I actually found I found a lump in the shower about 2 weeks before my yearly well woman's checkup. Mm-hmm. And I was actually prepping for a 400-mile gravel race with the Texas Showdown Series.
400 miles?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is a long way.
Yes, it
is. That is. So I went and did my race because I knew I had an appointment 2 weeks later. At my appointment, I pointed out that, you know, I had found something in the shower. Mm-hmm. So just part of the routine mammogram screening, they called me back and said, "Hey, there was a suspicious finding." And I was like, yeah, we already know that. But at the time, like, still never even, like, kind of blipped on my radar that it would be a cancer diagnosis. I figured it would probably just hormonal, mm-hmm. You know, just 45 years old, you know, perimenopausal, lots of training, getting ready for my race. So it wasn't something that I ever even thought of. Even as we was kind of going through the testing, I just assumed that it would come back as just something suspicious and it would just be something benign.
So you had the diagnosis. What was that day like for you?
It was a little stressful. You know, obviously lots of anxiety, lots of questions. So I think my biggest question, it wasn't like, why me? The question was more, how did this happen? And then what did I do wrong? So what part of my, you know, my nutrition, my training, you know, was there something that I did that contributed to my diagnosis? So I wanted to know the why. More than anything, and that's still something that I think I search for today, is like understanding the why did this happen, so that, because if you understand the why, then you know how to mitigate it in the future, right? Or you know how to help other people. But I think that's going to be the biggest thing that I'll always ask, is like the why behind it.
I think it's easy to go there.
What
did I do? How did I do this to myself? And that's very hard. So what helped you through those difficult days of that diagnosis?
So I think some ways that I manage stress and anxiety is I love to work out.
Sounds like it.
And, you know, I work out pretty much 6 days a week, whether that's on my bike or a CrossFit or in the gym just doing strength training. So I find, like, especially on a weekend, on a Saturday, if I've had a rough week at work and been stressed, I get on my bike on a Saturday with my friends, and within 10 or 15 minutes, it's like you have a whole entire reset.
Yeah.
So getting out my bike with my friends and then doing the normal routine stuff, right, of like going to the gym and continuing on with those good habits, I think that's really what helps kind of, you know, kind of tamper down like some of the stress and anxiety that comes with the diagnosis and then dealing with that diagnosis.
Right. So during those difficult days, you know, that you hop on your bike, you take a ride.
Yep.
At what moment did you feel a sense of hope that everything was going to be okay?
So I'm a pretty positive person.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm quite good at putting things into a box. So after, you know, a couple of days of some stress and anxiety, I try not to dwell on it. I try just to, you know, kind of get back on with life again. Mm-hmm. I'm still going through active treatment right now. So, you know, we don't have it behind us. We're just, you know, trying out some new chemotherapy right now to see if that can help. But I think really for me is like, don't let it take over your life or control your life. There's a lot of things that you can continue to do. Like, I don't look sick. I don't look like I have a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important that, you know, don't let it control your days and don't let it control your thoughts. It's a part of your life. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that I've had to like come to terms with is that, you know, it's not going to define me. Mm-hmm. And you can do more than you think you can do as you're going through active treatment or you're going through a cancer diagnosis. I think a lot of it is about attitude.
Absolutely.
And I'm quite a competitive person. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, screw you, pesky cells.
Right.
Like, you ain't going to stop me riding my bike or going to the gym or doing the things that I love.
Yeah.
And it's just something that you have to build in around your life routine is, hey, I've got a medical appointment. Hey, I've got treatment. But, hey, tomorrow I'm going to go to the gym or I'm going to go ride my bike.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a reward.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
So you're here for 24 hours. What event are you going to be riding?
I'm doing a two-person female 24-hour competitive.
Okay, so how do you train for that?
That's a good question. I haven't really done a lot of training for it specifically. Myself and Megan, who's also on Team Chemo Doping, we did a 400-mile Texas Showdown event at the end of March.
Wow.
And so we have just been riding for fun in between.
Yeah.
You know, going to the gym, just keeping up with like strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
And then a lot of CrossFit, which I think translates really well over into mountain biking with a lot of that like kind of high intensity.
Yes.
So that's kind of what I've been doing. I just wanted a little break off my bike and just build back up some strength. After doing so much endurance riding. So we're out here to have some fun and hopefully do well.
This is going to be a piece of cake, fam.
So is this your first time in Paladura?
I came to Paladura about 15 years ago when I first moved to Texas.
Okay.
But I do not remember any of the trails. So it is like riding a brand new trail. So we did a pre-ride today. I think half the trail was open. The other half was still closed because of the rain.
Okay.
But it's a nice trail. Few little technical sections, but nothing too major.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a really fun event.
That's so awesome. So for those listening that just got that diagnosis, what would be your advice to them?
Oh man. I think my advice would be, you know, it is stressful. It does create a lot of anxiety. I would encourage people to do their own research and be an advocate for their own health. So, you know, what are you doing today that you should be doing differently? So whether that's through nutrition, whether that's moving your body, whether that's through sleep, rest, reducing stress. I think those things are really important as you kind of go through treatment. Everybody handles treatment differently. I've been really fortunate that side effects have been very minimal for me. But I think that's because I continue to work out, and I think a lot of research has shown that if you continue to be fit and healthy as you go through treatment, you do tolerate the side effects better.
Yes.
But I would just say, like, it's a moment in time, right? It's gonna pass. Everything has a beginning, everything has a middle, and everything has an end. But don't let it define your life. Like, just make it part of your life. And, you know, go to your treatment, have a positive attitude, but what are the things that you can do to self-help yourself, right? And that might be yoga, or that might be taking a walk, right? But what are those things that you can do that, you know, just reduces your stress? And you're going to think about it. Like, you know, I can be riding my bike and thought will pop into my head, right? And, you know, you go through thoughts about, like, hey, you know, what's going to happen in a couple of months? Like, hey, you know, like, what does it mean next for me in terms of treatment? Right. And then you got to shut that noise down. Otherwise, it can, like, take over. So, you know, like I said before, I put it into a box. I put it at the back of my mind, and then I kind of get on with my day or get on with the things that I love to do. But I think it's really important to make sure that you surround yourself with people that are going to be supportive of you, whether that's friends, family, coworkers. But do the things that you enjoy, because when you're doing those things, it is a really good distraction away from the word cancer, right? Because everything starts revolving around it if you let that happen.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, that was wonderful.
That was some good advice. And we hope that you have an amazing time here in the canyon. And I hope you and your teammate do well. And thank you for sharing your story for our listeners.
Absolutely.
You know, if you are a survivor looking to find community, helping, trying to change the things that you can change, that's what the center is there for. You know, we have the counseling, we have dietitian, we have
exercise classes. Yeah.
There's so much to offer there at the center. So if you're struggling, make sure that you contact us. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you.
You know, one of the greatest things about being in the canyon is hearing survivor stories.
Yes.
And that's probably one of my favorite things, in addition to the start line.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have some special guests that have joined us. They graciously agreed to be on the podcast. And so our first survivor is Debbie. Debbie, tell us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Debbie, and I'm from Austin, Texas. This is my second time to come to the canyon, and it's just gorgeous here, and I love the ride. I'm really happy to be here and to be supporting cancer survivorship. It's a passion of mine because I'm a cancer survivor. So there's a lot of things that happened this year that were monumentous. I have, out of all of our group, I'm a triathlete. We have a training group out of 10 women who train regularly with us. That's not including the men, but the women. 3 got breast cancer.
Wow.
Just this year.
So if you think it's not going to touch you, you might want to think again. And it really kind of rocked our world, but we supported each other and pointed each other in the right direction. And they got help more than just surgery and chemotherapy and medicines. They got more than that. The extra help they got made all the difference in how quickly they rebounded and came back.
And y'all were able to support each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Through all of it. So
absolutely.
The support system is important to have.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So what type of cancer were you diagnosed with?
I had breast cancer. It's just very simple, stage 1. I caught it early. It was about the size of a pea, but it was wrapped in a little capsule, so it was just a little bit bigger.
Okay.
I'm a medical person by trade, and the first time that I heard cancer, I was laying on an ultrasound table, and they had seen something in the scan, and so they sent me to confirmation to the ultrasound, and I turned my head and looked at the monitor, the nice little ultrasound technician was sitting there, and I said, "Oh, that's cancer. We're gonna have to do something about that." And she gasped and no, we don't know that. No, so no, I'm a respiratory therapist. I've seen many chest x-rays. I know what cancer looks like in the chest. That's cancer. And I said, and I've also felt it. You know, that's what made me go to the doctor.
So how did, I mean, describe that day. How did you feel laying there? I mean, you knew, so the medical professional was coming out. That was the medical part of you.
Absolutely.
So, sometimes that doesn't help whenever you're the patient.
No. I felt so bad for the technician because I just shocked her. And I said, no, I know what that is. But I went home and I just was a little bit overwhelmed, but I was pretty confident that I could beat it because I knew that I had resources. I was insured, which that helps.
Yes.
I was working. That helps. I have a husband who supported me. That helps. And then I had all these people around me that were my friends.
Yeah.
And so those girls who were supporting me through that ran with me at the Coleman 5K, and I had a radiation catheter in my breast wrapped up, and I ran.
What?
And they ran with me. And so those kind, you know, that kind of survivor support. I mean, how many? That was like two months after surgery. We were in the radiation phase, and I said, I'm going to do it. I just wrapped it up real tight. And just
nothing's going to stop her.
Heck no. And I think that having that support makes you feel a little less vulnerable and a little bit more optimistic about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you said that you have three people in your group that has recently been diagnosed. What can you do for them that somebody did for you that made a big difference?
I pointed them to some help books that were well researched and well documented and
I bet you didn't go to Dr. Google.
No, Dr. Google. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
And then mostly, like after surgeries, we would all take turns going on walks, going and getting the person and going on walks. We did meals for them. Sometimes it's the littlest things. Just on a day, like first day of chemotherapy, make sure there's some flowers when they come home. Wow. You know, because that can be pretty rough.
Yes.
And so the fact that we have so many friends that know each other so well, we can support pretty darn well. We know how they feel.
Yeah.
So how has surviving cancer changed your life's perspective?
Wow, that's a deep question.
We like deep around here.
I think just like everyone, it brings you very starkly to the reality that you're not invincible. It also makes it crystal clear that cancer can touch you, even if you're healthy and you think you're doing everything right.
Right,
cancer can still touch you.
Yeah,
and so what that leads to is an appreciation of every person you touch.
Yeah.
That is so important. I mean, every person I touch, there's nobody that's not valuable. It doesn't matter who you are, how I meet you, where I meet you. Your soul is important.
Yeah. So what advice would you have someone that's just starting their fight?
One of the best things is advocacy. I think that they need to participate. They need to be actively making decisions that are right for them. You hear a lot of things, well, when I did this, I did that. And you're like, no, everybody's different. Their cancers are different. Their body's ability to be treated and accept different types of treatment is different. And they need to advocate for themselves and let their medical team know how they feel, what will work. And that helps you maintain a positive attitude that you'll be successful in the fight.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people mean well when they try to give you advice.
Yes.
How can you navigate through that? Because there's some good advice and there's not some good advice.
That is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. Well, when somebody would come to me and say, listen, I just got diagnosed with breast cancer, instead of giving them specific advice on what to do, I make sure they're well connected with good a professional group, a team that will get them everything that they need. One, and that's from everywhere from the right surgeon to the right reconstructive surgeon to the right therapy. I was treated at Texas Oncology,
and you have a connection with Texas Oncology, correct?
I do. Tim Skelly and I have been good friends for many, many years, and it didn't start with going there, but I went there because I knew he would make sure they took good care of me.
Yeah.
And so I did have a connection, so it made me more confident. Mm-hmm. And so I would tell anybody that came to me for advice that I'll direct you to get help. And if you have questions, you know, like, what is this chemotherapy and, you know, things like that, I can help you understand, or I can just give you a hug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or we can just go walk around the block. You know?
It's important.
I'll be happy to lay in the sun on the beach with you. You know, whatever.
Yeah. You know, sometimes people want to do so much, and sometimes it's just the normal things that mean the most.
Yeah.
It's just being there, a shoulder to cry on, or just listen, have a normal conversation about the weather.
Yeah. One of the things that was probably the most fun is a friend of mine had breast cancer and had a mastectomy. She didn't want to do reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with her to get her prosthetic. And we had a party. We had a boob party.
Oh,
party. Because it's only one boob.
I love it. But you were there to support her.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is so awesome.
What a great memory.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for sharing your story. And we hope that you have an amazing time here in the canyon. I'm glad you're back for year two. And I hope to see you in year three.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And as long as I'm cycling, you'll see me. Because this is so much fun. And people here are so welcoming. And it's just a great venue. So and a good cause.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. You guys have a good night.
You too.
Maribel, we have our next survivor. Introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
I'm Sherry McManaman, and I'm from here in Amarillo.
Now, Sherry, you have come out to participate in 24 for a while, have you not?
Yes. I started coming out before I had cancer, and then I'm still coming out.
That's awesome. So what type of cancer were you diagnosed and when?
I was diagnosed in 2018. I had anal cancer.
Mm-hmm. So describe the day that you were diagnosed. What do you remember the most about that day?
You know what I remember is I got the phone call from my doctor right as I'd come through the gates up here at Paladura Canyon. I was on my way for a hike. So I pulled over. I got my biopsy results. I'd kind of been expecting it to be a malignancy. And I was going to go home, and I thought, no. And I came down. I parked right here, and I did my little Comanche Kiowa hike.
Yeah.
And for the first couple miles, I cried. I was mad. I was sad. I prayed. I asked, why me? You know, all
of
those
course.
Things. And after a couple miles, I just felt calmer. I think God just helped me to just calm myself. And so for the last 2 miles of that hike, I just walked and appreciated every single thing that I could see on the trail.
So every time you come through those gates, are you reminded of that day?
I do think about it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's got to be hard for you.
It is, but it's my outcome has been good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always have that to lean back on.
But what a beautiful place to come to and
just the process.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what helped you through those difficult times?
I think, first of all, my faith. You know, it's just leaving it all to God and knowing that whatever happened to me was what He had planned for me. And I just needed to know that and lean into it. And my family, my friends, everybody was so supportive and so helpful. So those are the things that get you through.
Right. So when you had the most difficult days, you know, so when did, what was the moment, if you can remember, that you started to feel hope again?
Well, you're going to laugh about this.
We need to laugh.
I started feeling really hopeful after my first visit to the oncologist.
Okay.
Because he had all my biopsy, all my results and everything. And he told me that in my case, as long as I did the treatment I needed, that I had a 90% chance of a cure. So before that, I kind of thought, I don't know if I want to go through all this treatment, what it'll be like. Oh, and then he told me that, and my husband and I just both looked at each other and went, yes.
Yes.
So I think I was hopeful even before I started because I had such a positive prognosis from the oncologist.
Good.
So you said you participated before you had cancer, mm-hmm. and now you're participating after that diagnosis. Has this event changed meaning for you?
Actually, yes. When I participated before I had cancer, I mean, I was doing something for a good cause. I was having fun with my friends. I mean, it was all great. But now it's just like, oh, now I really know what it's like to be a cancer patient and a survivor. I know exactly what you guys provide at the Survivorship Center, which is wonderful. And it's just such a wonderful thing that we have available to us. And so that even makes it more close to my heart because I've taken classes at the gym and things, and yeah, it means a lot more now.
That's good.
That's such a touching story. You know, for someone that's out here riding right now, and they have no connection to cancer, they don't understand the center, what would you tell them and why they should continue to raise funds for the center?
I would tell them that the center is just integral to all the cancer survivors who use it. And they need also to know, more cancer survivors need to know about it. But when you go, you find a community of people who have been through what you've been through. You understand everything that's going on. And if you take advantage of all the programs, it really, really helps you so much. So I just tell them that they don't have any idea of how much good they're doing by coming out here and riding for us.
Yeah. And for those survivors listening that hasn't come, what would you tell them?
I would say, please, please, please come out. Everybody at the center is so nice. They're so supportive. If you don't have a clue, just walk in the front door. They will help you. You can have a private trainer teach you how to maybe get back into shape after all this treatment that you've had that's changed your body so much.
Yes.
There's counselors. There's nutrition. There's a gym. There's yoga that's not terrible. There's yoga that is soft and nourishing.
Yes.
And, you know, I've always had a problem with yoga. Mm-hmm. But when I go to Olivia's class, I just feel good.
Yes.
And I move in good ways for me, but it's not full of tension.
You know, Olivia has that on people, that effect. It's yes. just the Olivia effect where we just all get relaxed.
She's just one of the most lovely people I've ever met.
She
She's
is.
Wonderful.
Well, Sherry, thank you for coming out. Thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for being a part of the center. We appreciate you coming.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome back to our podcast. We are visiting with a survivor. And I'm going to let you introduce yourself and let us know where you're from.
Yeah, so my name is Carrie, and I currently live in St. Simons Island, Georgia.
Whoa.
Oh, that sounds like wonderful.
It is wonderful. Very different from here.
It is.
Is this your first time to Paladura Canyon?
This is. I had no idea that such a thing even existed in Texas.
It's kind of crazy driving and flat, and then here you have this beautiful scenery.
Very beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Stunning.
Yeah.
So tell us, you were diagnosed with cancer. What type of cancer was it, and when were you diagnosed?
So I was diagnosed on May 17th of 2023, so just over 2 years ago, with stage 3B rectal cancer at the age of 41.
41. Okay, so I'm guessing you had symptoms that brought you to the doctor for the diagnosis.
Yes, they're very mild though, and I, for a few months, just attributed the stuff I was having. I was like, it's just stress, it's just related to work. I was working 14-hour night shifts, so it was very easy to just pass things off as stress-related. And even my gastroenterologist was like, yeah, it's probably just stress. We'll do a colonoscopy just to make sure, but it's probably nothing to worry about.
So you went for the colonoscopy and you got that diagnosis. Tell us about that day.
It's surreal, right? Because first of all, you're sedated for the colonoscopy, so you're waking up from anesthesia, and the doctor walks in and you're expecting a, I don't know what I expected, but not this. So, he kind of had that grim look on his face where I was like, I don't think he's supposed to look like that when he's coming to tell me this is not a big deal. And he said, so we found a tumor.
And how did you process that information? I know it takes a little bit to come out of the meds, and you probably got home and had time to think about it.
Yeah, so I mean, that, I guess that's the hardest part, is you come away with a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. And if anybody who's been through this realizes or gets to know that it's several weeks of more testing and a lot of doctor's visits and a lot more information before they can really give you that staging information and then tell you what your treatment's going to entail. So until then, like most people, you're kind of going down the rabbit hole.
Right.
Yeah. And looking at the internet, which is the worst place to look.
Yes.
But, you're kind of gathering all this information, and all you have is a lot of speculation at that point. And so just a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty, everything from, am I going to die, to honestly, I freaked out the most. I was like, am I going to lose my hair?
You know, and that's so important for some people.
Yeah.
You know, we are at the center, and so we have a beautiful wig room, and so we get to help those ladies that come in that do lose their hair, but it's sometimes it identifies us.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. And you almost feel, you don't know who you can like talk to about it, because you're like, man, like, you know, people are going to think I'm silly that like I have cancer and this is the thing that I'm worried about.
That's what I tell our survivors that come in. I said, you know, they're almost apologetic for it.
Yes.
And I said, there's no need to apologize. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with vanity.
Yep.
It has everything to do with our identity.
Yes.
And so, you know, we help them make them feel comfortable so that it's not a silly thing for them.
So you got that diagnosis. Did you have to go through treatment?
I did. So the one thing that I found out with my testing is, since I was relatively young, they did a lot of genetic testing on me to look for a genetic predisposition. I found out that I have Lynch syndrome.
Okay.
So wasn't familiar with it. A lot of people are familiar with the BRCA genes for breast cancer, but Lynch syndrome is basically very similar, but for colorectal cancer. So it meant that I had a 70% chance of getting colorectal cancer in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. It also gives me a very high chance of uterine cancer and ovarian cancer. So that was another thing that had to be dealt with after the treatment for my cancer, was preventative options for preventing those cancers from occurring.
You know, oftentimes, as the nurse at the Survivorship Center, genetics are brought up. And some people don't want that because it's the can of worms.
Yes.
If you could tell someone why they should get it, what would you say?
So this is like an interesting topic for me, because more than likely, my father probably was the carrier in my family, but he was adopted, so there was no family history to suggest that I might be predisposed to cancer. And it's a little funny, because I'm kind of glad I didn't know for 40 years and I wasn't looking over my shoulder for 40 years waiting for this diagnosis. But obviously, by the time they found it on me, this was already considered an advanced stage cancer. So
yeah.
If I had known, probably could have found it much earlier on, and then fortunately for me, because I have Lynch, I was susceptible to immunotherapy, which, the treatment options now and the new things that are coming down the line are really nothing short of almost miracle drugs at this point. So I'm one of the, few, I guess, if you're going to be lucky in this scenario. The fact that I did get to have immunotherapy as opposed to traditional chemotherapy and radiation. I was extremely fortunate in that that was one of my treatment options.
So there is some blessing in the genetics.
So through all of this, you know, you talked about your diagnosis, you talked about the risk of other possible cancers. So how did you get through those difficult times and thinking about all of that?
Yeah, so I mean, probably what I finally got to is I really needed to focus on the future and find something in the future that I could focus on, which for me turned out to be signing up for a half Ironman race with a friend of mine that was scheduled about 2 weeks after my treatment was going to be completed.
Oh my goodness.
And it kind of just became like this, like the symbolism of crossing the finish line at the race. For me was really, you know, crossing that finish line with my treatment.
Yeah.
But it was hard for a while to be able to focus on the future because you're so stuck in the present moment and there's so much uncertainty, you know, am I going to be in remission? What's going to happen at my next appointment? Where you don't feel like you can focus on the future because I never wanted to schedule anything because I was like, well, that'll just be one more thing that cancer gets to take away from me if I can't do it. So finding something that I felt like I could do and could focus on was kind of a game changer for like getting me to focus forward instead of just feeling very stuck and like I had no life outside of being a cancer patient.
Is that how you found hope in your diagnosis?
That was a big part of it, to be able to focus on the future and like thinking about moving forward. Because you get stuck, you get depressed. You realize very quickly that everybody around you moves on with their lives, and that everything around you keeps moving forward, and you're kind of stuck where you are, and it feels unfair at a lot of points. So you go through a lot of, you know, depression and grief and anger, all these different feelings, just because it's kind of like, why'd this happen to me? And everybody else just gets to go on and live their normal lives. Having that sense of hope and that sense of direction that I can move forward to really, really helped get through the whole process.
So how has cancer changed your life?
I always feel weird saying this, but it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. In that, you know, you very quickly focus on what matters in life and what doesn't, and all of those things that you've been putting off and saying you were going to do, you finally do them. So, you know, I was in a bad job that almost killed me because I was ignoring cancer symptoms. I was in a bad relationship, you know, like, and just instantly, like, all those things I said I was going to do, I did them because, you know, survival rate, 65% chance that I'd be alive in 5 years, which meant there was a 1 in 3 chance I was going to be dead in 5 years. And that's pretty sobering, you know, fact to face at 41 years old. So, it changed my life absolutely for the better. I was just stuck in life, and it's funny because I'm like, I think life just gave me what I needed when I needed it. And it was a reality check.
You know, I hate that for you, but sometimes we need a little nudge and to get our life in gear.
Yeah.
I was kind of got pushed off a cliff, really, but, you know, like it changed my life for the better. Like it feels unrecognizable from 2 years ago where I was to where I am now, and I'm in such a better place.
Well, that's good to hear. So what would you say to someone just beginning their fight?
Probably some of the big takeaways. Everything you're feeling is normal.
Yeah.
I think that was a really hard thing for me. I spent a lot of time going, is this normal to feel this way in this situation? And I shouldn't have been questioning that. And the other thing is that, you know, even though it probably feels like it right now, one day, you know, cancer will just be a chapter in your story. It won't be your whole story. Because it feels like a lot of days you wake up and you're like, will there ever be a day I wake up and don't think about being a cancer patient? And the answer to that is, yeah, one day you'll wake up and you'll realize you have moved forward, you've moved on with your life. It's just a part of your story. It's not your whole story.
I love that. I love too. That. So what are you looking forward to most for this weekend?
Oh, man, this is going to be challenging. Can I say I'm looking forward to noon on Sunday?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, kudos for you for even coming and even doing this race. And, you know, it is an amazing production. So many people come to support the center. And, you know, we are forever grateful for those that do come and support us so that we can do our job on a daily basis.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that you guys have this center. There's nothing like anything like this where I am. And these types of resources just weren't there. And it would have been a game changer to have people I could have talked to, you know, when I was going through this. So, you know, it's amazing that you guys have this. And, you know, I'm glad to be a part of this weekend.
So if you're listening in the Texas Panhandle, did you just hear her? There's not that many resources like this outside of this Panhandle.
Yeah.
We hear that often.
A hidden gem for sure.
And so if you are struggling, make sure you come and see us. We are not scary, I promise.
Nope.
We will open our doors and open our hearts to helping you be the best version of you, having fun, and not letting cancer live your life. We'll let you live your life with cancer. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We hope that you have an amazing time and stay safe, stay hydrated, and watch out for all the critters at night.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Wow, Maribel.
Wow. Yes.
Those were some amazing stories from survivors that come down here to enjoy the weekend, to participate. You know, I keep on thinking, like, they've gone through a lot.
They have gone through a lot. And here they are, a selfless act. They're coming, most of them not from our area.
Right.
And they are here to support our local cancer survivors.
You know, what does our local survivorship center have to offer to cancer survivors? We haven't touched on that.
No, that is a great question, because anybody listening, you know, there's somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. So that's our hope. Our prayer is that this touches that somebody that needs to hear what we have to offer at the Cancer Survivorship Center. We have amazing resources such as counseling. We have four counselors that are contracted with our center, one of those being bilingual. So, you know, that is offered to the cancer survivor themselves or for a caregiver.
We have MAT training.
We do have MAT training.
What is that? Memory attention adaptation training that can help with that chemo brain, chemo fog, cognitive dysfunction, whatever you want to call it. If you're having a hard time with those words, finding the right thing to say, after that diagnosis, that class can help you.
Yes, it's an 8-week course given with one of our MAT trainers. A lot of times that MAT training turns a little bit into counseling, so it's a win.
You know, we have a recurrent theme about having your support system and having a counselor there, having someone that maybe is non-biased, you know, can really help you work through the stress and, you know, that next scan or those fears, those anxieties. They're there to help you.
Absolutely. We have a dietary counseling, so we have a dietitian, Rachel, that is contracted with us as well. The dietary counseling is a must as well. I mean, when you're going through treatment and you have that diagnosis, that, you know, our guest that just spoke earlier, she hit it. You know, you're sitting there going through that checklist and you're going, what did I do? Is there something that I did to cause this cancer? Well, you know, a lot of people go to their diet.
Right.
And so Rachel will be the first to tell you and to help you. You know, if that's something that you want to change in your life, she will be there to counsel you. It's a one-on-one consult with Rachel. And I like Rachel because she doesn't tell you just to quit everything cold turkey. It's modification.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's super easy. I'm on the oncology nurse there, and
yes,
some people are probably saying, why is there a nurse there? And my job there is to help you understand what you've gone through. I prepare your treatment summary and care plan, and that has all the important information about your diagnosis, and so that you don't have to remember that. And we talk about side effects that you may have or could have in the future, and then ways to live healthier, national guidelines for follow-up care, and so much information. It also has a, you know, every time I meet patients, it gives them time to process.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not there to give you medical advice, but I'm there to help you understand your medical.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, I didn't understand this before I started working for the center, for the foundation. Pam is a very important part, and she makes a lot of our survivors feel comforted and able to explain what feels like just, you know, a different language to somebody. But also, when you're done with treatment, then those patients are often wondering, now what? Now what do I do? So this is a good way to get them the information that they need and get them plugged into our center if they haven't been plugged in before that.
Absolutely. You know, and cancer treatment can be stressful, but one of the nice things that we have is a massage therapist, and she can help you with your neck or back, hands or feet, because of the neuropathy and the tension, you know, or maybe you just need a little bit of time for yourself.
Yes, Melanie is great, and she you could see her from time to time popping in into the different treatment centers, giving you a hand or foot massage, and so that's also a plus and a treat.
Right.
We also have personal trainers. We have a fabulous gym. We moved into our new building in end of November. And so with that, we were blessed with a state-of-the-art gym.
And it's pretty awesome.
Let me tell you, that place is popping. There is never a time that that is not busy.
And right.
So Olivia stays busy. Susan and Olivia are personal trainers. So you can, if you want some one-on-one training, you can call the center and we can get you referred to one of them to create a special treatment plan for you, or a workout plan, I should say.
You know, maybe the gym isn't what you want, but you want group exercise. We have everything from yoga, tai chi, chillaxation, regaining your strength, regaining your balance, line dancing. We are adding pound.
Yeah.
And so there is a class, and you know, I always tell patient, it costs you nothing but your time.
Right. And Pam, what is the greatest thing at the common denominator in all of this? It's all free.
You know, it's one of Ryan's favorite words, free.
Yeah, free.
And we also have you there.
Yes.
And tell our listeners what you do there.
Yeah. So I am the patient assistance program manager. So the foundation has a grant that we are able to bless anybody that is going through active treatment, active chemotherapy or radiation. So it's a simple grant application that you fill out. It gets submitted to myself. We review that and are able to help with non-medical bills. So, you know, just like any stress, you know, financial, it's not, doesn't discriminate as well. And cancer treatment is expensive. And so our hope is to at least help offset the money that you have going out to medical bills, and we help with the non-medical bills.
So if you're listening, if you are struggling, please give us a call at 806-331-2400 or stop by at 1732 Hagee Boulevard. We want to thank our sponsor, the Pink Shoe Project, with our friend Miranda.
Yes.
And her story. So if you are a patient going through treatment, make sure you check out their website. If you're needing a pair of pink shoes, you know, to have that special angel with you, please reach out to them.
Yes. Pam, thank you for having me.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yes.
We always have a good time and have a lot of stories.
We do. We have a lot of stories to process after this podcast, but it's probably one of my favorite ones of the year. And if you are planning on coming next year, make sure you reach out, and we would love to have you on the podcast.
Yeah.
And until then, we hope you have a safe and fun time.
Yes.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.